Watcher, and a ginormous welcome to this week's The Real Enjoyment of Jazz with me, Mike Wynn. And guess who we're going to start off with this week? Why? It's Killer Joe. And the song was, of course, Benny Goldson's glorious Killer Joe. I've got this version on an Aura label LP, Aura being a subsidiary of Liberty. It's called Blue Lights, and it features Billy Larkin and the Delegates. Larkin was on the Hammond B3 organ. Clifford Scott, tenor here, flute elsewhere on the LP. Hank Swan, guitar, Mel Brown, drums. Clifford Scott was actually a guest for this Hollywood 63 recording session. They were normally an organ, guitar, drums trio, and they produced 8 very good blues-soaked jazz LPs in the 60s. We will certainly be hearing more of the Hammond B3 on this show. Here's Monk. And that was a Rudy Van Gelder recorded Riverside LP called The Unique Thelonious Monk, March 56. And listen to this lineup: Monk piano, as we already know, the great Ellingtonian bassist Oscar Pettiford, and none other than Art Blakey drums. That was the Gershwin Brothers' song Lisa, written way back in 1929 for the musical Showgirls. The song was sometimes called Lisa, open bracket, All the Clouds Will Roll Away, close bracket. Here's the B3 again, and a very well-known Beatles song. George Harrison's Something, without doubt, one of the very best Beatles songs ever, for some, for many, the Beatles song of all time. Bobby Forrester is the leader, and yes, he's also on the Hammond B3 organ, Elijah Williams Jr. guitar, Johnny Kirkwood drums. Recorded in California in the early 80s, and amazingly, that appears to be Bobby Forrester's solitary album as a leader, but he had an astonishing 26 years backing R&B legend Ruth Brown, and he was also a sideman on some very notable jazz albums. Here's a singer we've overlooked for years.
Gonna take a sentimental journey, gonna set my heart at ease. Gonna take a sentimental journey to renew old memories. Got my bag and got my reservation, spent each dime I could afford. Like a child in wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard. 7, that's the time we meet at 7. I'll be waiting there for heaven, counting every mile of railroad track that takes me back. Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gonna take a sentimental journey, sentimental journey home. Piece of yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gonna take a sentimental journey, sentimental journey home, sentimental journey home, sentimental journey home.
The song was, of course, Sentimental Journey. Much recorded, the singer here, Julie London. And this Liberty LP is called Julie at Home. And yes, it really was at Julie's home. The entire LP was recorded in Julie London's living room at her LA house. Jimmy Rolls was on piano, Al Viola guitar, Bob Flanagan trombone, although silent on this song, Emil Richards vibes, Don Bagley bass, and Earl Palmer drums. So yes, a fair-sized living room by the time you've squeezed in a couple of recording engineers. But Julie was indeed a big star in 1960 and no doubt could afford a very large house. She recorded a couple of LPs every year from the mid-50s to the mid-60s, always featuring a photo of the very attractive Miss London on the cover. Here's the Duke towards the end of his career in Winnipeg, Canada.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen, for the wonderful warm welcome. You're very beautiful, very sweet, very gracious, very generous. And all the kids in the band want you to know that we do love you madly.
Yes, Sea Jam Blues, written by Duke Ellington in 1942 and played here 31 years later in May 73. And in a day less than a year later, the greatest jazz man of all time died. And he was ill for that final year, but still brought his dedication and professionalism to each and every performance he gave, including the famous Kids in the Band Want You to Know That They Do Love You Madly routine. Corny, yes, but the audiences loved it every time. Many of the big names were also still in the band. Cootie Williams, Chuck Connors, Russell Procope, Harold Ashby, Paul Gonsalves, and the ever-present Harry Carney. It's another Beatles song, this time one of Paul McCartney's. Yes, a bit poppy, but still good fun. From a King LP called Paris Soul Food. It has a smattering of pop songs on it. The leader is tenor man Hal Singer with a local Paris band in August 69. A perfect time to be recording jazzy versions of pop songs. The real reason I featured tenor man Hal Singer is thanks to my excellent New York clipping service. Thank you, Pavan. As the New York Times ran a feature on the 100-year-old Hal Singer. He is the last surviving male from the Tulsa race riot, which also went under the names Tulsa Massacre, Greenwood Massacre, or Black Wall Street Massacre, which took place May 31st, June 1st, 1921, when white residents of Tulsa burnt down 35 city blocks of the well-to-do black neighborhood of Greenwood. Over 100 were killed, maybe as many as 350. And Hal Singer's parents' house was razed to the ground. Somehow the young Singer went on to produce some terrific albums. I'll feature some of his more jazz-focused work another week. We don't often feature the bass clarinet, but we will now. This Japanese DIW label LP goes under the self-explanatory title of Ballads for Bass Clarinet. The leader is David Murray, who played tenor as well as bass clarinet. In fact, he mainly played tenor, but not on this LP, obviously. John Hicks, piano, Ray Drummond, bass, Idris Mohammed, drums. New York, October 91. That song, written by Idris Mohammed, was called Lion's Street. This next song was written by Dave Brubeck. Thank you. This Empathy LP, recorded in New York, October 84, stars the Joe Carter Quartet, but features Art Farmer, and quite rightly, it really features Art Farmer, who was on flugelhorn on that Brubeck compo In Your Own Sweet Way. Joe Carter, you'll have guessed, is the guitarist, plus Harvey Schwartz bass and Akira Tana drums, and they all get their fair allocation of airtime. Joe Carter made three LPs, one a year, 82, 83, 84, and then seems to have vanished back into teaching and writing books on guitar technique. Big band time again, and for me, this song sums up a whole era. Recorded at the Palladium Ballroom, Hollywood, California, early December 47, and under the leadership of band leader and pianist Elliot Lawrence, he'd simply dropped his surname of Brozza. End of 47 is the beginning of the decline in big band popularity, and Lawrence, in 51, moved into writing music for TV and films very successfully, I might add. We heard Heat Wave, and next is something from the best Norah Jones album for some years.
This life as we know it is all as we know it. This life as we know it. This life as we know it is over.
Oddly, indeed, very oddly, this Norah Jones album is made up of cutting room floor rejects from various other albums she'd recorded over the last few years, and yet is, in my opinion, her best for some years. She went very middle of the road on us for a while and managed to pick up the unfortunate nickname Snorer Jones, with reports of some in the audience nodding off in some of her live gigs. This is excellent paired back jazz, just Norah piano, occasionally Celeste, and Jeff Tweedy guitars. We heard This Life. Here's someone we've never played on our show before, and we're going back, way back, to 37. Sweet Sue, Just You, recorded in Paris very late 37. There have been relatively few jazz violinists who become major jazz names. Joe Venuti, Eddie South, Stefan Grappelli, Stuff Smith, Sven Dasperson, and no doubt a few more that I can't think of at this moment. But there was one who was certainly at their exalted level, but largely in his native France, Michel Warlop, Michou to his friends. He was a child prodigy, winning every possible award in France. His mother was a music professor. Michel entered the prestigious Conservatoire de Douai at the age of 6. He could have got into any classical orchestra in France, but preferred jazz. His recorded output is relatively slender. He missed a couple of years because of the war, was then banned for a period of time for playing music for the Germans, and later joined the Raymond Legrand Orchestra, Raymond being the father of Michel Legrand. This December 37 recording date illustrates the esteem he was held in, as his supporting musos are Stefan Grappelli, piano, Django Reinhardt guitar, Louis Vola bass. Warlop died, a combo of TB and drugs, in 47. He was 36 years old. A short interlude. You might be surprised to hear that that song came from an album by drummer Billy Hart, but pianist Ethan Iverson gets his solo slot on his own compo Old Wood, recorded June 2011, New York. It's bebop time, literally. That was the Dizzy Gillespie compo Bebop, as played by a group called Super Sax, which was set up by altoist Med Flory and bassist Buddy Clark in 72, and with many personnel changes, ran for over 40 years, albeit sporadically. And here in 73, it's, as well as Flory and Clark, of course, Conti Candoli trumpet, Joe Lopez alto, Warren Marsh and Jay Migliori on tenors, Jack Nimitz baritone, Ronald Bright piano, Jake Hanna drums. This capital LP is called Super Sax Plays Bird. Super Sax's entire existence was based on Charlie Parker's improvisations. This next LP has the intriguing title of Costanzo plus Tubbs. Thank you. Tubby Hayes and his orchestra are on a couple of the songs on this Fontana LP, but not on the song we've just heard. Lament for Cello, recorded in London, August 61. Bongo master Jack Costanzo is the leader, plus Malcolm Cecil, cello, and he wrote Lament. Mirza Al-Sharif, percussion, and that should just leave us time for a dollop of tenor man Eric Alexander, recorded live at the Jazz Gallery, May and August 2018. Just tenor bass drums, the sparse, very sparse liner notes, stress it's a piano-less trio. This song, Magyar, is, well, you'll hear. As ever, I really hope you've enjoyed all the songs this week, and equally hope you'll be back with me, Mike Wynne, again next week for another The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please take care, be well.